We continue tonight this series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I shall read from a parallel account of the Sermon on the Mount that is found in Luke chapter 6. And you will notice that though there are many similarities between this account and Matthew chapter 7, there are also some very obvious differences. Because of that, there are those who have taken the position that the sermon found in chapter 6 of Luke is a different one than the one found in Matthew chapter 7. And so in the edition of the Bible that I have before me, the title above is Sermon on the Plain, different than Sermon on the Mount. We believe, however, that even though there are these differences and there is a difference in order in which the truths are presented, we believe nevertheless that this is the same sermon. And the very fact that there is a difference in order didn't happen by chance, but this also is by inspiration of God. So we read tonight from Luke 6, beginning with verse 27 and reading through verse 38. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now we turn to Matthew chapter 7, where we find our text, verse 12, the familiar passage that is commonly called the Golden Rule. Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. One of the difficulties that are involved in the consideration of the various passages of Matthew 7 is trying to understand the flow of thought and the relationship of the various passages one to another? Or is there even any connection between the various passages? When you first read Matthew 7 through, you might imagine that they're all different subjects and there's no connection between them. Calvin, whom we know among us as the prince of exegetes, with whom we would very rarely disagree, takes the position that there is no connection whatsoever, that we simply have one subject after another in chapter 7 of Matthew, and we ought not to try and discover a connection. However, our text begins with a word that definitely indicates a connection. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye do, and so forth. The word therefore indicates clearly that there is a connection, and we need to think through that connection. And we believe that its connection is, first of all, to the opening verses of chapter 7, where Jesus admonishes us not to judge. We are not to sinfully judge one another. And the thought of the golden rule follows from that. Rather than judging in an evil way, we are to follow the golden rule. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So then Jesus is still thinking about that subject. That subject that he admonished us about in the first verses. The sin of rash and wicked judgments of one another. But then there is, after that passage, the section that we considered last week. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be open unto you. Why did Jesus turn to that subject? Is there also a connection with that passage? And we believe that there is. In the passage that we considered last week, Jesus urges us to seek after God. There is no possibility of living the Christian life unless you and I follow the admonition of Jesus that we seek the Lord daily in our lives. And we do that earnestly. As we said in the sermon last week, though it is true that this passage speaks specifically about prayer, it's also broader than that. It refers to the whole of our life, the urgent calling. A calling that we are to do over and over again. Seek, ask, seek of the Lord. Knock at His door. For we cannot possibly live any part of the Christian life. We cannot follow the admonition that Jesus addresses to us in the beginning of chapter 7 or any of the admonitions unless we come to God. And we have to do that daily. This is practical Christian living. Are you doing that? Does this characterize your life and my life that we are daily seeking the Lord, asking of Him, earnestly and sincerely seeking His face, knocking at His door with great urgency because we need Him in every part of Christian living? And then the beautiful promise, repeatedly told us in the passage that we considered last week, he that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, to him it shall be opened unto him. What a wonder that is, beloved. I hope you, the impact of that was imprinted upon your heart last week when we considered this passage. What a promise when we ask of the Lord for Jesus' sake. He will give us the riches of our salvation. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. If indeed we seek Him with all our heart and with the earnest of which the passage that we considered last week speak. And we knock at His door and He will open unto us and we will enter before His presence and into the joy of His fellowship and service and worship. And so for the whole of the Christian life, you and I need to follow what Jesus admonishes us to do in the passage that we considered last week. And we need to do that to follow the golden rule. The golden rule is the rule for the life of the citizen of the kingdom. It's a summary rule of how the citizens of the kingdom are to live towards one another. The general subject of this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount is the subject of how the citizens of the kingdom are to behave towards one another. And we are citizens of the kingdom by the grace and spirit of Jesus Christ. And we must display the characteristics of such citizens of the kingdom as they are outlined in the Beatitudes. And it is only possible for those who are genuinely citizens of that kingdom, spiritually citizens of that kingdom, they alone can follow what is called the golden rule. And they can follow that, beloved, only if they ask and seek and knock. If they are earnest, if they're genuine and sincere in their Christianity, because they go every day over and over again earnestly seeking the grace and blessing of God upon their life. And so this leads us then to this passage called the Golden Rule, and that explains, we believe, the therefore. That's the connection. So this evening we consider this passage, verse 12, the golden rule. Notice, first of all, the teaching of Jesus. Secondly, the possibility of keeping it. And finally, that this is, according to the words of Jesus, all of the law and the prophets. The golden rule, as it is called, as Jesus gave it to us, is absolutely distinct. There are those who, in their commentary on this passage, will make a large point about the fact that many other religions have a form of the golden rule. And there are pagan philosophers, famous pagan philosophers, Greek philosophers, who also had a form of the golden rule. And they will point out to the fact that there's such a similarity to all religions. And they are similar in that they all agree on that principle that is set forth by the golden rule. Well, I don't care a whole lot about all the other versions of the Golden Rule. And I'm sure that Jesus' Golden Rule is not borrowed from false religion or from pagan philosophy. It is not in any respect an adaptation of the Golden Rule of humanism. This is the Golden Rule of Jesus Christ, the Lord of our salvation. And its absolute difference is entirely on this point. It's God-centered. The difference between humanism and Christianity, real, genuine Christianity, is one is utterly and totally man-centered, and the other one is absolutely God-centered. The trouble with all of what the world calls golden rules are that they are entirely man-centered. They don't begin with God. They have nothing to do with the law of God. They make the feeling and the experience and the opinion of man the standard for all of life. So every golden rule, if you can, you can't even call it that. It's not even proper to call it that. But any statement that might be imagined to be that when it's humanistic and when it's pagan, it's nothing but ungodliness. Man hates God by nature. He doesn't want the law of God. He's offended by the law of God in every form that might appear in any way to be like the golden rule is totally ungodly. Let me give you an example of that. If the golden rule is a statement of humanism, then if one man, following this, enjoys the pleasures of sin, then another man should not turn or seek in any way to turn that person away from the pleasures of sin. So if a young woman of modern-day society wants to use her well-shaped body to entice men and to gain large sums of money, as is so very common in our culture, then certainly no one should say anything about that. No one should say that this is wrong. This is immoral. And surely no one should discourage such a person from pursuing that kind of a philosophy of life, and don't say anything to offend. Encourage them to continue in this way because you don't want to offend them and you want to do to them what you want them to do to you. Well, that would be the humanistic form of this rule, which has no comparison to Jesus' rule. Neither is this a utilitarian principle. The golden rule is not utilitarian. The golden rule doesn't mean that because we want people to say nice things about us, so we will also say nice things about them. And because we want people to do kind things for us, we will also do kind things for them. And we want to be sure that they will not do evil to us. And so we also try our best to do good for them. It's interesting, by the way, that all these forms that are cited of this principle are all in the negative. Only Jesus is in the positive. Whatsoever, therefore, ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But what does Jesus mean by that? Let's focus now right on what he means. What he means is that we have to put ourselves in the place of our fellow citizens of the kingdom. It is natural for us that we want to be treated by them in a good way. We want them to speak well of us. We want them to be helpful and kind. We want them to be careful about the judgments they make concerning us. And that's a rule. But in order to understand that rule properly, you have to begin with God. It isn't just about my feeling and your feeling. It is about God and about his salvation. You cannot properly understand this rule unless you go to God. Unless you understand who God is and the salvation of God, you have to go to him. You have to learn the law from him, and this golden rule has to be understood in the light of the law of God. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 6, this rule is given in the context of our calling to love even our enemies, if we only love those that love us. We're no different than the Gentiles. But we have to love those even who persecute us, who hate us, and who make all manner of evil statements about us. How can we do that? How can we live the Christian life as Jesus sets it forth in all of the Sermon on the Mount as citizens of the kingdom? How can we avoid the sin of rashly and sinfully judging one another? We can only do that, beloved, after we have come into the presence of the Lord our God. After we have sought him, after we have asked of him, after we have dwelt with him. Unless we begin there, unless we see the connection of verse 12 also to the verses that immediately preceded, it is impossible to keep the so-called golden rule. There's a lot of talk about the golden rule. What a lovely rule it is. That's why it's called the golden rule. It's such a beautiful rule. Golden rule. And it seems like everybody could easily agree on what the golden rule has to say. And if only this rule were followed, there would be no crime in our streets, and there would be no divorce in our land, and on a national scale, there would be no war in the world If only men would follow the golden rule. And so there's much talk about the humanistic version of this. And there is the imagination that there's a commonality among all religions in seeking after such a principle. But man does not follow it. And it's worse than that. He cannot follow it. He has no interest in following it. And there's one reason for that. Fallen man is entirely self-centered. He hates God, and he hates the neighbor, and he is prone to hate God, and he is prone to hate the neighbor, and central to that awful reality of the total depravity of the human nature is the awful reality of man being thoroughly self-centered, and therefore he cares not finally about his neighbor. He cares only about himself, and that explains the whole of his wicked, ungodly life. That's the reason why there's strife and anger and evil speaking and judging and divorces and violence in the street and wars in the world, because fallen man, the depravity of his nature is such that he is utterly self-centered. And anyone who wants to understand what Jesus means by the golden rule has to understand that concerning himself. You know why we speak evil of one another? I'll tell you why. Because we're self-centered. Because we have an evil nature that thinks about ourselves and not about our neighbor and not even about the fellow citizens of the kingdom. Why do we do hurt to the fellow citizens of the kingdom with words and with deeds? Because we're driven by a self-centered, sinful passion. That's the root cause of all bitterness and strife and of all evil judgment. That's what it's all about. That's why people can say bad things, evil things, judgmental things, ungodly, rash judgments, and they can do evil without any regard to the hurt that they are doing to the neighbor, and when this happens in the sphere of the kingdom, to those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Beloved, it is impossible for you and I to follow the golden rule. Utterly impossible. Do you believe that? The only way that we can follow the rule that Jesus sets forth here is by going into the presence of God. Ask, seek, knock. Do that over and over again. Do that earnestly and sincerely as regenerated children of God by the power of His grace and by His Holy Spirit. Come there. Stand before His face, the face of Him who is the infinitely and absolutely holy God. Learn of Him. Learn His law. Learn that He is holy and delights in that which is holy and good as He Himself is holy. Learn that He hates that which is evil. Learn of His great salvation that He has revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Learn the wonder of His love and mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. Learn that every single day, over and over again, in your life and in my life, by asking, seeking, and knocking earnestly. Pray to Him for mercy. Pray to Him to reveal the righteousness that belongs to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Learn every day the wonder of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the wonder of His forgiving mercies. The God who is merciful and pitiful to us. Though we are sinners in ourselves, He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. And learn, when you come before His presence, learn about yourself, who you are and who I am. Learn what great sinners we are, how worthy we are to be condemned. You cannot follow the rule that Jesus is setting forth here until and unless you have learned that by His grace. What depraved, totally depraved, damn worthy sinners we really are. And learn every day by seeking Him the amazing wonder of His grace. Remember the sacrifice of Christ. Remember the righteousness which it has accomplished. And come to Him because you and I need Him. The language that we considered last week is all about that. Earnestly, ever more earnestly, daily seeking after God and His grace. Only then can we understand what Jesus means in the golden rule, and only then will we have from God the strength and the grace to live the truly Christian life. It's a life that is totally contrary to who we are in ourselves. There is absolutely no hope for us to follow the golden rule unless we go to God and earnestly seek His wisdom and grace and strength, who enables us to live as citizens of the kingdom and to behave ourselves like we should behave ourselves in our relationships together as citizens of the kingdom. And then, beloved, we can have a right understanding of what Jesus means. What do we desire as children of God, regenerated by His grace, who have gone before His presence? We desire the salvation of our souls. We desire the highest imaginable good, the salvation of God and His mercy and His forgiveness. And what do we desire then also for our fellow saints? The same thing. And then we understand what Jesus means when He says, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We desire the good of our neighbor. We don't just think about ourselves. In the judgments that we make, in the works that we do, in the words that we speak, our thoughts are not just on ourselves, but they are on our neighbor as well. We think of them very deeply. We think of their spiritual welfare, and we think of how they would react if, or how we would react, rather, if they said the things that we have said to them, and if they did the sinful things that we have done to them because of our sin, then we are on the way, beloved, of following the golden rule. And then it won't be humanism. Let me illustrate how different that will be. I want my fellow saint, fellow citizen of the kingdom, I want him to behave toward me in this way. When I sin, I want him to point out my sin. The world will never do that. My sinful nature would say, I don't like to hear that. And the humanistic understanding of the golden rule would mean that we don't tell anybody about their sin because we're afraid to offend them. As a citizen of the kingdom, I follow this rule as Jesus taught it, and I want my fellow citizen of the kingdom, if I'm walking in sin, and I'm blind to that sin or careless about that sin, I want them to tell me. Desperately, I want them to tell me. And that's not a violation of the golden rule. That is the golden rule. And that's also how I behave myself towards the fellow citizens of the kingdom when they walk in sin, in love. I admonish them in humility, knowing that I also am a sinner. And then I do exactly, by God's grace, what Jesus commands me to do. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And that's a rule, beloved, that requires the love of the second table of the law for my neighbor. That law must correct me when I have evil judgments regarding my neighbor and when I do evil things to my neighbor because, you know, when I do them, I'm thinking only about myself. I'm being controlled by my own anger, my own rashness, and because I'm thinking only about myself, I want to be able to pour out my wrath and vengeance upon them in order that I can exalt myself and be satisfied. What a terrible thing that is. The Golden Rule teaches us that we have to be so deeply concerned about our neighbor, especially when that neighbor is a fellow citizen of the kingdom, that we have to think very deeply about him when we say something about him or to him, or when we do something to him. Is it good or is it evil? If we do that which is evil to the neighbor without any regard to the hurt, the damage that this causes to the neighbor, the spiritual damage that this causes to the neighbor, we're doing the absolute opposite of what Jesus requires us to do in the Golden Rule. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is a summary of the law and the prophets. Those two designations refer to the whole of the Old Testament scriptures, and by implication they refer to the New Testament, the inspired Word of God that was written and collected together in the New Testament books. They are all covered by that expression. Our Lord Jesus had much to say about that. Remember that? He said, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill the law. He didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it, and he fulfilled the law by his sacrifice and death on the cross. He merited for us righteousness. He didn't do away with the law. He didn't say that now, therefore, you don't need to keep the law anymore. You can live as wickedly as you want to, and as carelessly and as self-centeredly as you want to, but rather, by his Holy Spirit, he works in our hearts the principle of his law. And he teaches us in chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, he teaches us what the true spiritual requirement of the law is. He did that in contrast to the false teaching of the scribes and Pharisees who taught that the law of God was merely a set of outward precepts, and they were precepts that man could perform by himself. And as long as one avoided the negative statements of the law of God, he could congratulate himself that he had kept the law. And so Jesus, in the statements in chapter 5, says, ye have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. And he sets forth the true spiritual principles of the law. And these, beloved, are the basis for the Golden Rule. And that's the rule, the amazing rule that we must follow. That's the general rule. For every area of Christian living, that's the rule for our behavior to our fellow man in general, and that's the rule for our behavior as citizens of the kingdom regenerated by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the rule for husbands and wives. Think of it. Every time, in a burst of anger, you judge even your spouse and make all kinds of evil judgments of them, what a violation that is of the Golden Rule. Think about how you would feel if your spouse would speak the same way to you, the same evil way that you speak, if they would also speak that way to you. what hurt, what damage that would cause to your marriage. Follow this rule in your marriages. Whatsoever ye will that man should do to you, so do ye also unto you. What you want your godly wife, your godly husband to do to you, so also do ye to them. Now let's use an example of parents and children. Covenant children, listen to this. How do you behave towards your parents? Are you rebellious? Are you disobedient? Do you grieve them carelessly and thoughtlessly? You have no concern about the sorrow and the anguish that you cause for your parents. The trouble is that you're self-centered and you're not following, by God's grace, the golden rule that Jesus Christ sets before us. And then, children and young people especially now, someday in the providence of God, you are going to be married. Many of you are. And someday, in the providence of God, many of you also will have children. And how do you want those children that you will have? How do you want them to behave towards you? How do you behave towards your parents? Do you grieve them by disobedience and rebellion and ungodliness? Then turn from your evil way and listen to the golden rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, let's apply it to the fellow members of the church, those who are together with us, citizens of the kingdom of Christ. Think of how we hurt each other with evil words sometimes, rash and careless judgments. Think of how our sinful deeds hurt our fellow saints, and they do. As long as we are on this earth, we dwell together in the kingdom of Jesus Christ as it is manifest in the congregation. And our behavior must be such that it's according to the golden rule. We have to put ourselves in the place of our neighbors. And when we sin against them, we must not lift up ourselves in pride and say, well, I have every right to say that and every right to do that. And I don't care how much it hurts my fellow citizen of the kingdom. I'll just continue to do it. Because all I care about is myself. I don't care about others in the church. What a terrible, sinful life that is. Our Lord Jesus teaches us the golden rule. And we must learn that rule and follow that rule as citizens of the kingdom. And we must seek daily and earnestly the face of God, asking, seeking, knocking at His door for the grace, the wisdom, and the power to live truly the Christian life according to the principles of the kingdom of Jesus Christ with His grace and Spirit in our hearts. And then when we follow the golden rule, we will have peace. And we will care sincerely one for another. And we will not go wrong. And God and Jesus Christ will be glorified among us as our King and our Savior in the behavior that we have as citizens of His kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the amazing teaching of the entire Sermon on the Mount. Words that came forth from His mouth. Words of absolute truth and righteousness. Words of absolute authority. We know, O Lord, that we cannot follow these principles except by Thy grace in our hearts. And so may we come, even as we are exhorted by our Lord Jesus Christ, asking, seeking, and knocking, to find with Thee Thy grace and Thy salvation and Thy power and Thy wisdom for our Christian life. Amen.